Hey everyone, my name is Shah Shaheed, and welcome back to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. This episode will be a spoiler-free movie review of the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe release, Captain Marvel. So stay tuned. This is a straight-up movie review of Captain Marvel from the Marvel Studios production company, obviously featuring a brand new Marvel superhero into the MCU, their first female-led superhero, which is a big deal, even though it kind of shouldn't be at this point. Like, we got Wonder Woman, I think, what, 2 years ago? A year ago? A year and a half ago? But so Marvel is kind of a little late to the party. Even though in their movies, they have featured very strong characters that are female, that are women. Amazing characters. We'd love to see more of them. Most recently, they have greenlit a Black Widow standalone solo movie, which, you know, about damn time, Marvel. Like, what the hell took so long? But Captain Marvel is their first ever female solo superhero movie. And for what it is and what it's supposed to be, I immensely enjoyed this movie. Spoiler alert. But it was super enjoyable. It was so much fun. It gave us things that we've never seen before. And I didn't really realize that we didn't see it before until this movie. And now that I know it and I've seen it, it's very much like, yes, this obviously makes sense. Why isn't this a thing already? So before we get into the actual movie review, let's set up some context. Obviously, this is a solo individual hero movie, so you don't really need a lot of primer going into this. If you haven't seen any sort of MCU movies, or you've fallen off the wagon in the last couple of years, or whatever the case might be, then definitely there's things in this movie that you might not get, or you might not, the cool stuff, the cool elements might not really hit you that hard. The sort of Easter eggs, you'll kind of be like, okay, I don't get what that was about. But otherwise, if you want to come in brand new to a Marvel movie, this could be it. This could be the thing that kind of pulls you in and gets you caught up, and then you go back and watch all the other stuff and blah, 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 blah. But it's a very standalone story. Again, it has an impact on you. If you watch other stuff, it'll definitely enhance the experience much more, but you don't really need it. However, by the end of the movie, for the post-credits and mid-credits scenes, of which there are two, so stay through till the end of the credits, because there will be some surprises there. But Captain Marvel is very much the story of one character. The story is told in a very non-linear way. So it's an origin story that's not really an origin story. It doesn't start from, you know, point A to point B. It's very much like, you know, starts at point G, takes you back to point B through flashbacks. And the story really is about this one character that we meet right off the bat, Captain Marvel, and essentially her journey into finding out who she is, where she came from, and how that ties into the larger story of the movie itself. And by the end of the movie, obviously, how it ties into the larger plot of the entire Marvel Universe. There's a lot of cool surprises there that I was really sort of astonished by. But let's get to the movie. So Captain Marvel opens with this established character with her powers. These aren't spoilers. We've seen these in the trailers. And essentially, she is a soldier in the Space Force, the Kree Intergalactic Space Force. The Kree are a race that were set up and introduced back in Guardians of the Galaxy. If you remember, Ronan the Accuser, played by Lee Pace, was a member of the Kree who was kind of like a Kree terrorist who was kind of going around and killing off planets and killing off people. Ronan was hired by Thanos, played by Josh Brolin, in Infinity War. He was hired by Josh Brolin to get the Power Stone, which the Guardians encounter, and blah, 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 story, 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 Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. So that's where we were introduced to Kree. The races are a lot more explored in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. The movies don't really do a lot of that until this film, so you will see familiar faces in this movie right off the bat. You will see Digimon Hounsou, his character from Guardians of the Galaxy, who, you know, encounters Chris Lord in that first scene. You'll see him. He's part of the team of the Space Force, and you'll also see Ronan the Accuser. You get a more insight into what the Accusers are, what that title really means. So you have Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, who is amazing. She is essentially being mentored by Jude Law's character, and and they go to investigate something. They're at war. You realize that the Kree are at war with this other race of shapeshifters called the Skrulls. They go on a mission. Captain Marvel gets captured, and she essentially is interrogated. The Skrull capture her and are interrogating her, going into her memories to find something. Something that leads her, during her escape, she tries to escape from them, and this leads her to Earth. Ultimately, the movie is about that. The movie really is about Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers is the character's name, finding out who she is, how she got these powers, why is she a Kree soldier, and how all of this ties into the rest of the plot itself, but also sort of the Marvel Cinematic Universe somehow. So again, like I mentioned, it's not your typical origin story, especially when you consider the Marvel formula of how the origin stories are usually told. This movie is very much a Marvel movie, though. You're not going to see a lot of sort of going off the beaten path of the brightness, the jokes, the sort of very enjoyable moments, the fun moments that are kind of good for the whole family. It's really effective in all that stuff. But the most impressive part is that it's really good at telling a story that's already kind of in mid-swing. Like, it's an origin story that's very much in the middle of it. Like, we're getting dropped off in the middle, and we have to figure out what's going on and how it's going on. So there's a lot of exposition, a lot of things you kind of have to piece together. It's not spoon-fed to the audience, you know, as much, but it is a lot of things that you have to kind of take in. So Captain Marvel is very much a sort of buddy cop movie. Because, again, when Carol Danvers gets to Earth, her liaison into the human ways is very much this younger Nick Fury that we've all seen in the commercials, Samuel L. Jackson, who is de-aged considerably. This technology is amazing. It's very concerning how you can take an actor and sort of take off 30 years of his life through technology. And it also kind of makes you go, you know, why? For casting directors, I think it's going to be a very much challenge, because when nowadays you have, it's like situations where it's like, hey, let's try to find a kid who looks like the younger version of X. It'll be very hard for them to do that job anymore, because, well, we can just take that actor and make him the younger version of himself from 40, 30 years ago with technology. So I'm pretty sure casting directors all over the world are like, damn it. But so it's 90s Nick Fury. It's 90s Samuel L. Jackson, who's like in top shape, it looks like. There's a lot of this movie where I'm like, wow, he actually looks like a young man, not just facially, but just the body and movement, expression, everything. So essentially, like I said, the movie is very much these two. Their relationship, their platonic relationship, and how they get along, and the jokes and their chemistry is genius. They've done similar things in Marvel. They've tried to do sort of buddy cop genres and a couple of scenes here and there, you know, some of the movie, part of the movie, but they don't really go full on with it, whereas Captain Marvel is very much Samuel Jackson, Brie Larson, Carol Danvers, Nick Fury, mishmashed pair coming together and just kind of going through the story of this movie and its beats, and it's hilarious, fun, enjoyable, heartwarming, endearing to watch, all those things, all at once, all at the same time. And Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson's performance as younger Fury is kind of amazing. And you don't really get how amazing it is until you walk away from the movie, because Samuel Jackson is kind of, the running joke is that he's in everything, right? That he's in every single movie. And I think we take him granted. I think we take that for granted a lot with him, simply because you watch this movie and you're very much like, yes, this is a very Samuel L. Jackson role. And so for the duration of Captain Marvel, you're looking at Samuel L. Jackson, you're like, yeah, this is nothing special. He's done this hundreds of times. This is him, Samuel L. Jackson being Samuel L. Jackson, no biggie. But when I walk away from this movie and I kind of think about how Jackson plays the Nick Fury character that we all know and love for the last 11 years now in all these Marvel movies and TV shows, the Fury that we see in Captain Marvel is drastically different. He is happy. He's jokey. He's humorous. He's charming. He's very much, you know, a guy's guy. He's very much a charmer, and also very idealistic in the things he wants to accomplish as being a SHIELD agent and where he wants to go. He's very much a sort of naive in a lot of ways, as they establish in the first act of the movie, that he's very naive about what's happening and he's very sort of idealistic about how he's going to go about it. So now you compare that to Nick Fury from Avengers 2, Nick Fury from Civil War, and it's night and day, because you're like, whoa, wait a minute, how did this character go from a guy that sees a cat and goes, oh baby, oh, da, 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 to like the guy that we see in Civil War, who's very much jaded, he's very much sort of, you know, he's very manipulative, he hides things from Captain America, and you know, he believes that, you know, prevention and is better than, you know, free will, and you kind of wonder how you get there. And at this point, let me see a Disney Plus series of a young Nick Fury origin story. Like, why not? Let's do that. So it's a great performance. And again, you don't realize it because we take it for granted. We see Nick Fury all the time. We see Samuel L. Jackson all the time. So you take it for granted. But if you actually look at this performance, you're kind of like, holy crap, this is an amazing Jackson performance. Brie Larson as Captain Marvel and Carol Danvers is sort of a revelation. She's really good in this movie. And a lot of it is really her emoting and reacting to things happening to her. And in that sense, it's so pitch perfect because she plays Captain Marvel in a way that I didn't notice that we do, that there's a trope that exists. Let's go back. One of the biggest and stupidest controversies and critical sort of criticism against Captain Marvel is that, oh, the character doesn't smile. She always seems grumpy and pissed off and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, of course she does. Of course she does, because that's what the character goes through in the story. She's very much upset about what's happening. She's trying to find out her past. She's trying to find out her own origin. And she's trying to figure it all out. And when she is fighting, she's fighting out of frustration. She's fighting out of anger. She's fighting out of, you know, inability to control her rage and her memories that she has no idea of. And that's all bubbling at the surface. And she's trying to figure it all out. So, yeah, obviously you're going to get that. And the craziest part to me is, you know, for a female superhero, quote unquote, she didn't have to be, you know, and she was unapologetically badass. She was unapologetically pissed off and angry and scowling and grimacing. And all of that worked perfectly for the context of the story in the movie. Because why wouldn't it? Because if you take a look at, you know, male heroes, the majority of the male heroes that we all love and revere to this day share those personality traits. Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s character in the beginning was not a nice guy, and to a certain extent still isn't a nice guy, and is very much a dick when you consider half of the things that have happened in the MCU kind of has been his fault, directly or indirectly. But no one ever questions that, right? No one ever says he needs to be nicer, or he needs to be in touch with his feelings more, otherwise he's not a better character, blah, 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 blah. You take a look at characters like, I mean, look out of the MCU, right? Because Doctor Strange has similar sort of character traits as Iron Man. But you kind of remove yourself from the MCU. Take a look at just comic book movies in general. Take a look at Blade. Take a look at Wolverine. These are all characters whose core personality traits are to be sort of, you know, arrogant and brash and scowly and moody and grumpy and pissed off and, you know, and just always resisting anything or anyone trying to have a conversation with them. But we never go, well, I couldn't really relate to that hero, or, oh, maybe if he was a little bit nicer to that girl, or, oh, maybe, you know, if there was a bit more jokes. And so I don't understand why that's sort of the biggest criticism leveled at Captain Marvel. It doesn't make sense, and it feels completely unfair. That just because it's a gender thing, like, that's a bit much to me. But again, I didn't realize this until I saw Captain Marvel. I didn't realize these comparisons until Captain Marvel. But it makes sense. Why wouldn't this character behave this way? It makes complete sense to me. And even that, the people that are saying these complaints haven't seen the movie, because clearly in the scenes that the story requires her to be, where Brie Larson's with other characters like Nick Fury, like you know, Samuel L. Jackson, or more importantly also with this other character, Akira Akbar, who's a little 11-year-old girl, she's charming as hell. She's sweet. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's so relatable. She's so personable. She feels like a real life, you know, person and not just a character or someone playing a character. Watch the movie before you start sort of making these complaints based on 2-minute trailers and your own sort of gender biases. That's all. Now, the biggest surprise from Captain Marvel in terms of performances has to be Ben Mendelsohn, who plays Talos, the big alien Skrull that everyone sort of, the big bad of the movie, essentially. Now, Ben Mendelsohn, over the last couple of years, has been playing sort of these string of supposedly menacing bad guys. Like, he did one in Rogue One. He recently did one in Robin Hood. And none of those, to me personally at least, have hit the mark, really. Like, I was never scared of him. I never took him seriously as a villain or even sort of a character to be reckoned with in any way whatsoever. Whereas here in Captain Marvel, he gives me so much. He is the walkaway surprise. He is the takeaway of this movie, if anything, is, holy crap, who's that guy? Because he's amazing. That's how good Mendelsohn is in this. In a room full of performances that are already great, he really stands out, and he really kind of goes, huh, awesome. Now, despite the movie being good, despite me liking the movie very much, there are some downsides to it, so I guess, you know, to be objective, we have to go through that. But I gotta say, the bad stuff doesn't really overwhelm the good stuff. Like, there is sort of, yes, this is the things that the movie could definitely work on, but the experience overall is a lot more fun and enjoyable. So, the downsides. The movie itself there is something missing when it comes to portraying the heart of the character, despite how much Brie Larson does an amazing job of showing this character as a real person. No matter how much the story sets up this story to be very emotional, there's something missing in the heart of it all. And again, that could be maybe the non-linear storytelling, so you don't really get to live with the character. And when the character finds it out, that's when you find it out, so you don't get to see how she was prior to this. And anyway, there unfortunately is no flashback sequences of her being herself, which definitely feels like an intentional choice. But I also feel like if they did that, it would have sort of... it would have humanized the character for us and shown an even bigger contrast to how she is after she loses her memory. So again, that's just my opinion. But at the same time, I believe that might have also made the movie super cliche that you're always going into flashbacks. So I get why that wasn't done. The other aspects of it is very much... it's a predictable story, to be completely honest. It's not something that we haven't seen before. It's not something that's very like, oh my God, this is groundbreaking. I've never seen that. I didn't see that coming. And I didn't see... Unfortunately, you do kind of see a lot of this stuff coming. Again, the performances really take you away from it. You're not really sitting there nitpicking the plot point, nitpicking the story beat. Because the characters and the actors are looking like they're having so much fun, the sequences, the action sequences are so great that you're not really paying attention to it all, is what I would say. But at the end of the day, it is very much predictable. It is a movie that doesn't reinvent the wheel, really. It's just sort of like this milestone for us to get from here to Avengers Endgame. But again, with amazing performances, a character that's a really good character in the Marvel Universe. I want to see more of her. So there is that. The other sort of thing that was very unnecessary and really underserved, depending on your point of view, is that Clark Gregg returns in Captain Marvel as the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Greg Coulson from the first Avengers movie. For people that don't know, spoilers for Avengers from 2012, Greg Coulson gets killed by Loki. And however, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, Greg Coulson does come back. He is brought back to life. And he's been last couple of years on that TV series. So they bring him back here as, again, because this movie's set in the 90s, so they bring him back here, also de-aged him to play basically a younger rookie partner to Nick Fury. However, besides maybe one sort of significant moment, he doesn't really get anything else to do in this movie. He's just kind of there, which felt like a waste, especially because in the marketing, he's sort of the main cast. He's in everything. He's in all the interviews, all the press tours. You know, but his role is, you know, negligible. So that to me was kind of a waste. Like, why would you bring him back if you didn't do something big with him? And, you know, I don't know. It didn't hit home with me. I wish they either didn't have him or made him do something else. And also, the other complaint that I have is that, you know, the larger action sequences, not at the end, but in the beginning, the more hand-to-hand fight stuff, is really hard to watch. It's really hard to kind of... The inexperience in that kind of directing is very evident. Like, you can see the seams. So that, to me, kind of took me away a little bit. Now, Captain Marvel isn't a perfect movie by any means at all. I wouldn't even say it's in my sort of top five Marvel movies to date. There's a lot of things that you might not like about it. A lot of things that you might think is very meh about it, really. But at the end of the day, the reason that I really enjoyed this is because... The Captain Marvel character is someone that we've never seen in the MCU before. And not just because she's a girl, but just the character itself, the backstory of this character, the decisions and choices this character makes. And we know this because the movie was set in the 1990s. So we've gone forward in time to, you know, 20, 25 years or whatever it is. My math is really bad. But, you know, we've come across this time. So we know the decisions she's made. We know that she hasn't decided to return home because she's not in any of the other MCU movies. So knowing that kind of gives you this character who's made a commitment to something other than Earth, to other than, you know, her already. And after one movie, you know this character's, the stakes that this character's dealt with, the problems, the conflicts this character's dealt with has been literally more so than a global scale of things. Whereas every single character we've ever dealt with has only had to worry about one world, one universe, one sort of set of people, one conflict that threatens one world. Whereas you're looking at Captain Marvel, who's a character that has dealt with more than that. Okay, hold on. Let me backtrack. You can argue the Guardians of the Galaxy have dealt with, you know, more than the fate of one world and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, they're not really the traditional heroes that are going to go and, you know, fight for the righteous and blah, 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 blah. Whereas Captain Marvel is a full-fledged superhero. She is a superhero and she makes decisions. So she's definitely a brand new character I want to see more of. The performances of Captain Marvel are top-notch with some incredible actors who genuinely seem to be having a good time. So while Captain Marvel isn't a must-watch within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it definitely is a must-watch for us to get to Avengers Endgame. So if you've seen Infinity War, you definitely need to watch Captain Marvel to get to Avengers Endgame. But even without that, the movie itself really is fun, and it's a pretty good movie on its own. Not the best, but a pretty enjoyable, a fun watch with the whole family. And again, she's a brand new character, and I definitely want to see a hell of a lot more of her in the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. And follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. You can follow me personally on Twitter and really all other major social media at The Shah Shahid. Thank you so much once again for listening to the Split Screen Podcast. And until next time, this is Shah Shahid.